1 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll pray as we get started tonight. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Lord, every time we come to hear the word of God, we thank you that it can be changing for us, Father, if we'll be doers of it. And Lord, as we hear the word tonight, we thank you that it helps us to grow, to become more like Jesus, Father. Lord, we thank you for everything that you want said being said tonight, everything you want done being done in this place. This isn't my service, Lord, it's yours. And so, Father, I just give myself to you as a willing vessel, Father. Lord, we thank you for helping us tonight, challenging us, growing us, and increasing us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I want to talk tonight, I believe the Lord's leading me to talk about this, is about honor, Bible honor, the way God teaches us about honor. And there's nothing that's going to be said tonight that you haven't heard before, but as we know, faith comes by hearing and hearing, and so it's good for us to be reminded of these things, good for us to be refreshed along these lines. You know, Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, and Pastor Michael, and I'm sure others, but those are the three that I know have said it, have all, when they've been asked, you know, why don't we see the moves of God in the body of Christ that they used to? You know, I've heard stories about how God used to move on the earth, about the healing revival and the charismatic revival and arms growing out and the miracles that people would see, and I want to see those things. And then you got to wonder, why don't we see those things? Because God's still God, isn't he? And the Bible's still the Bible. So there's got to be a reason for it. And so when we don't know something, we ask the Lord, we ask those in spiritual authority over us, and praise the Lord, they have the answers for us. And when you ask Brother Hagin, if you ask Brother Copeland, and Pastor Michael has quoted them, and he said it himself, why don't we see these things? They'll give two reasons usually. The first one is that the body of Christ isn't consecrated. They're not dedicated to the things of God. They're not sold out to the things of God. They're not, you know, there are always something that's more important than the things of God that comes up. And, you know, you read about the 2-3 week revivals that they used to have. Or Brother Hagin would talk about even 8 week revivals. And I think about that. My goodness. People laying aside their lives for 8 weeks to serve God. What a beautiful thing that must have been. And God showed up mightily in those times. But people today don't want to do that. And so we don't see the things that we used to see. But praise God, that's changing. Amen? I'm not saying we're going to go to 2-month revival services, but I am saying that we bring a hunger for God that let's just lay it down for him. And whatever he wants from us to be able to see those things, let's give it our all. But we're not talking about consecration tonight. The other thing that they say is missing is honor, that there's no honor in the church of God. And because there's no honor in the church of God, God can't flow like he used to flow. And so we're going to learn about honor tonight, because not only do we want to see these things flow, but if we want more of God in the body, and if we want more of God personally, there's a law here in 1 Samuel 2:30 that the Bible says, and so we want to know how to obey that law so that we can get everything that he has for us. Amen? Amen. So what is honor? Well, the Bible tells us, and I'm thankful for it, where it says that word honor. If you read that in the original Hebrew, and I don't read Hebrew, but somebody else did, and they wrote about it, so I'll read what he said. They said, that word honor, it means heavy or weighty, something that's highly respected or esteemed, or to highly value something. When you honor something, when you have, and it's not really that much of a shock and awe for us. We should know this, right? Honor is just that something's heavy, something's weighty. When I said here that I have an honor for this pulpit, that means that I don't treat this lightly. I don't just, you know, I don't come here having eaten a Big Mac right before I got here tonight. I fasted today and I prayed before God and I got a message ready for tonight. You know, your pastor does every time as well, because there's an honor and a reverence for the responsibility of bringing the gospel to people that we take seriously. But there's a lot of churches that don't take that seriously. Pastors that, you know, I was joking around with some pastor friends of mine, because on Sunday I filled in for Pastor Michael in Fredonia, and they sent me a message that morning of a picture of a $9 sermons book on Amazon.com. They said, here, are you wondering what to preach today? Here's your help. Well, we laugh at that, but there's churches that's where they're getting a message from, is Amazon.com. I'm getting my message from the Holy Ghost. Because we have honor for God, and if we have honor for God, then we want to say what He wants said. We want to do what He wants done. So when it talks about honor in these scriptures here, and having honor for the things of God, we'll give a little context to verse 30. But God here is giving a word through a prophet to the prophet Eli, who's a backslidden prophet. He was called of God. He was chosen of God. His lineage of the tribe of Levi was supposed to be the priests for all of Israel. But Eli got off a little bit. He ended up valuing his children more than he valued the call of God on his life. Now, I have value for my children. I love my children with all my heart. But if my children try to pull me away from the will of God, I'm going with God. And that's the attitude. Nothing should have a higher place in our life than our Lord and Savior. You know, our spouses shouldn't have a place above God in our life. Only God is to be the top, the number one. We have the highest honor for Him if we want Him to flow in our life. And I believe we do. I believe we do. But Eli, he got off here. And we're not here to rag on Eli tonight, but it's important for us to see that because Eli got off, God placed that call of that office onto someone else. He gave it to Samuel because Samuel would be faithful to it. Samuel would obey God. Samuel would do what God wanted to be done. And Eli wouldn't be the one to do it. So we're seeing here in this scripture where God says to Eli, listen, I'm the Lord God. And I said that from the start, your branch of the tribe of Levi would be the one that I would flow through, would be the one that I would bring my message to the people through. But because you didn't honor me, I can't flow through that tribe anymore. And he had to cut it off. You know, if you've got a part on your body, you've got maybe a pinky that, you know, you've seen those, or let's go with toes, because it's so cold outside. You've seen those toes that get frostbite. What happens if they try to bring life back to it, and life just not coming back to that thing? And you know, those doctors, they'll give it everything they have to breathe life back into that thing. But if they just can't get it, they've got to cut it off, because otherwise it'll bring disease into the rest of the body. And that's what God is saying to Eli here. He's like, listen, I've tried everything. I've given you more mercy than you deserve. I've tried to get over to you. I've tried to allow you to choose me over your children, but you refuse time and time and time again to do it. And God's saying, I have to cut you off, because if I don't, it's going to bring that sickness, that lack of honor and reverence for God into Israel. And Israel couldn't afford to have a lack of honor for God. So God said, I've got to cut that off for the health of the rest of the body. So if when it comes to honor for God, God's not doing it from yes, it's a place of judgment, but he's not doing it from a place of hatred or anger. He's doing it from a place of protection for his people. That when God needs to cut somebody off, there's a reason for it. Because he wants to keep the rest of the body safe and protected. Now, where it says here, God said, so that's what happens. Israel said, God said to Eli, listen, because of this, I know what I said before, but you forfeited what I said before. So because of that, now you have to be removed. And he gives the reason why. He says, they that honor me, I will honor. They that honor me, I will honor. So when we learn about honor here, we see, first of all, that we have to take the first step. God's always waiting on us to make the first move. He's not going to move into us. He's not going to do something to us that we don't want done. He's a perfect gentleman, we've heard it said. You know, Matthew 6:33, whose responsibility is it to go first? It's ours, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. James 4:8, you draw near to God and then he'll draw near to you. The first step towards God is always on our part. But he promises that if we'll take that step, he'll be right there to reciprocate it. He'll be right there afterwards waiting for us. But it's the same thing with honor in our life, that if we have honor for God, and we're going to see tonight how to honor God, but this is why we need to. To honor God is to view him as weighty and his things as weighty. But to be honored of God is a wonderful place to be. That's one of the highest things that we can receive down here on earth. You know, we think of great victories as having, you know, our needs met, or having that check come in that we were believing for, or, you know, getting over the flu by the gospel. And praise the Lord, those are great victories, aren't they? We're thankful for what Jesus did for us. But that's not the highest and best. That is high, and that is good to have those things. But to have the honor of God means to have his presence in our life. That when you walk into your house, when you sit down, when you go to spend time with God, that He shows up there with you because you bring honor to Him. That's such a wonderful place to be. You know, when you, I don't know if you've, I've been in churches where God is, and I've been in churches where God isn't. The ones where He is are so much better. And the difference is that the ones where He is, they honor Him. They may not cross every T and dot every I, but they have a hunger and an honor and a reverence and a respect for God. And God says, I can work with that. That's what I can flow in. And so if we want that, and I believe we do, we want to see the miracles here that have been prophesied. You know, we want to see the miracles in our personal finances. When I go before God with my checkbook, I want to know that He's honoring me in that. How do I do that? By honoring Him first, right? We do that with the offering. I mean, there's every law of what we need to receive from God has to do with us honoring Him first with it. Seed time and harvest. We honor Him with our seed. He honors us with a harvest, right? We're believing God for healing in our life. We honor Him by building our faith on the Word of God and what it has to say about healing. He honors us by healing us. Everything that has to do with God has to do with honoring Him first, with taking that first step. But there's a lot of Christians out there that are forfeiting their promises by not honoring God. They're forfeiting health and prosperity in their life because they refuse to honor God. You know, there's churches out there, there's people that forfeit salvation because they don't have honor for what Jesus did. They hear about it, and they may talk about it, but that's the end of it. They don't have honor for it. They don't view what Jesus did for them as weighty. They don't view it as truth, and so they don't have the fruit of it in their life. They don't get to enjoy salvation. You know, I love it when people say, when they find out that you're a Christian, especially when they find out that you're a preacher. I don't go around with a shirt that says I'm a preacher on it. I don't generally, you know, I didn't tell anybody at work that I was a pastor. Of course, one person found out, and so everybody found out. But generally speaking, I don't go around broadcasting that. Why? Because people get weird. People just get, oh, I don't know how to act. How do I act around him? And I'm a human being, too. I can have a conversation with you just like anybody else can. I may not talk about the same stuff, but I can still have a conversation with you. But I remember that as I was growing up, you know, you hear about those people where they say, well, they find out that you're a Christian, and their first response is, well, you know, I love the Lord in my own way. I just, or something like that. And, oh, God bless them. You know, you just, you want to help them, you want to reach out to them, and so you pray for them, you be a light if you can to them. But I was one of those people before I got saved. I grew up going to Catholic church, and this is a Wednesday night, so I can say Catholic church, right? I grew up going to Catholic church, and I knew that I loved the Lord. I didn't know how to. Nobody taught me how to. Nobody taught me how to honor God or have reverence for Him. And so I remember, you know, when I'd grow up, and I was sick all the time. All the time I was sick, always at the doctors and things like that. A lot of times it was in my head, but I just, you know, it got me attention, and I liked it. I was an only child. I liked the attention. So, yeah. Oh, I got to be sick today? Hey, look at me. I'm sick today. But I remember a lot of times I'd be sick, and that was the only time that I would ever pray, is when I was sick. Because I'd say, Lord, if you'll heal me of this, and you make those promises to God. You know, here I am, little fifth grader me, getting sick everywhere, making promises to God. But that was the only time I prayed. What was that? I didn't have honor for God. I didn't view Him as weighty. I was just going to Him because it was convenient, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And there's churches out there, those churches that people say they go to and they love the Lord in their own way. Well, they're not actually loving the Lord the way He needs to be loved, the way He needs to be honored and viewed as weighty. That when we have honor for God, we say, no, that's my God. That's my Jesus. He did that for me. He died for me so that I could be healthy and whole. And we view Him and His things as weighty. He'll promise to fulfill the promise to us on the other side of it. You know, to be honored of God is to have His promises and to have His presence in our life. Pastor Michael has said this one before, and I believe he said it at those meetings we had last week. He said, a good church service isn't a big crowd or a lot of dancing or a lot of shouting. A good church service is one where the glory shows up. Amen. And that's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want, is a service where God shows up, where the glory of God is at. Doesn't matter if it's one or two people. If God's there, that's good. Amen. If God's there, that's what we want. And to get that from God, we've got to have honor for Him. So we'll see how to honor Him. But let's look at the last part of verse 30 first. It says, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You know, in the church, even people that maybe are dealing with frustrations in their life, maybe are struggling with things, generally you don't hear them going around saying, I despise God. Right? In the church, that's not a phrase we use often. But God is saying this to someone that served him. And so if we look this up in the Hebrews, in Hebrew as well, that word despise doesn't mean despise as we think. It just means to lightly esteem. The New Living Translation says, I will despise those who think lightly of me. When we don't view God with the honor and reverence that he deserves, when we don't come before him, and you understand that God's not up there, you know, this is a Wednesday night, so we can say these things, of course, and you know this, God's not up there bashing us if we're not coming to him the right way. But if we want more of him, it does matter how we go to him. It does matter how we approach him and how we live our lives to glorify him. And if we want these things of God, we've got to take the things of God seriously. And if we don't, if we view church as just another thing that week or just something to check off the list to get done, which I know isn't the Wednesday night 12 degree crew, right? That's not us. If you come out on 12 degree nights on a Wednesday, you know you love the Lord. But just be refreshed of this, and you can be reminded on Sunday morning that when folks come out, you know, oh yeah, lightly esteemed, right? But not from a place of judgment. I'm not telling you to judge anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this, that when we don't take the things of God seriously, when we don't have honor for God, he can't move in our life. When it says that he lightly esteems us, that means that he is at enmity with us. He can't be in agreement with us when we don't take him and his things seriously. And there's a whole movement out there that's trying to bring dishonor to God, and it's masquerading as a Christian movement. And it's the grace movement. We've been taught about these things, that it's out there. You know, I hear people, and I mean, maybe you've said it yourself, but praise the Lord for grace. But grace is good, grace is of God, but there's no such thing as too much of it. You understand that there's that place where we still need to live right before him. We still need to honor him in this life, to live life as we should and striving for righteousness. We already are righteous through Jesus, but we've still got to act like we are. Jesus didn't make it so we didn't have to act saved. But that movement, and I hear folks say this and it just grieves my spirit, they'll talk about God. And they'll say, yeah, hey God, that big guy in the sky. You know, there's a dishonor and an irreverence for God. Now, I'm not saying that we need to put on, you know, white robes as the Pharisees do, but we can't get over onto that side of it either. There's a middle of the road. There's a balance that maintains an honor for God. God isn't the big guy in the sky. He's your Abba Father. He's Jesus Christ. And when we go to him with honor and reverence in that situation, he has a name that's above every name, and it's not big guy. Amen. It's Jesus. And we go to him and we say, oh, Lord, my Father. And they may say, oh, that, you know, you're all old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy. Well, if I'm old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy and it gets God to show up, then call me old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy. That's how I'm going to be. God's looking for us to honor him so that he can show up in our lives. Because he won't show up where he's not welcomed. And he knows he's welcomed when he's honored. Amen? So we're going to take some time tonight. And that's why we have to honor God, what honor is, but we're going to see how to honor God. And these are three areas that the Lord put on my heart that we're going to talk about. The first is that if we're going to honor God, we have to have honor for God's word. Honor for God's word. Go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. And I encourage you sometime to spend some time in Psalms 119 just meditating on these scriptures, because it's basically a love letter that David wrote to God's word. It's a love letter that he said, God, I love your word so much. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so grateful for it. You know, I know I've said this before, but this word, you ought to view it, that's how David viewed it, view it as a love letter from God to you. That God sat down in heaven. And he said, you know, we all love those sappy old war movies where, you know, so-and-so Private Smith is over there writing his fiance back home in the States, telling her how much he loves her and misses her. And we get all teary-eyed and choked up at that and say, oh, isn't that just beautiful? Well, you picture God in heaven sitting down, Jesus Christ, and he's writing you a love letter. He says, my child, I love you so much, I want you to be rich. My child, I love you so much, I want you to be healthy. I want you to spend forever with me. And you take that and you take that in line with this and you say, God, oh, he loves me so much. We have an honor and a reverence for this book because it's not like any other book. This book is what brought us to God. This book is what made it so that we didn't have to wonder what God was saying through other people that could be corrupted, that he gave us this word that's absolute truth. In this life and this life hereafter after this one. The word of God. So Psalm 119 in verse 97. And we're just going to pick one out of here. I was trying to figure out which one to pick, but this one came up in my heart. It says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. There's an exclamation point at the end of that. That means that David is saying that with exclamation in his voice. He is so passionately excited about God's word. Why? He has an honor for it. Because he knows that that word of God is what changed his life. The law of God is what allowed God to move on earth like he never could move before. Because it got humanity in a position to be able to honor him so that he could flow on earth. God wanted to move before the law was there, but he couldn't. Because people didn't know how to honor him. And he can't go where he's not honored. And then the law came, the word came, and we learned how to do that. So how do we know if we have honor for the word? Just like here in this scripture, oh, how I love thy law, we find joy in it. If we find, you know, the word ought not to be a laborious task for us. I remember being in college, and I certainly hated doing homework. I mean, I would do anything I could to get. In high school, I didn't have to do homework. I was one of those, I'm sorry, but I was one of those, I never did homework in high school, and I still did extremely well. I understood stuff. It come to me easily. But when I got to college, something changed. And it wasn't me, because I still didn't do the homework. But my grades were nowhere near what they were in high school. I just didn't want anything to do with it. And that didn't glorify God. And if I could go back and do it over again, I would do it differently. But we're here tonight, and that's what grace is for. But I will say this, that with the Word of God, when we go before it, it ought not to be a task like doing homework. It ought not to be something that, I got to read my Bible tonight. Somebody call me so I can get out of this. Somebody, all those excuses you look for to get out of doing your homework, we ought not to have that same ideal towards the Word of God. Now, our flesh might, because it means our flesh has to sit down and be quiet and buckle up and just strap in and shut its mouth. And so our flesh doesn't necessarily like having to do that. But our spirits, that when we say, oh, I get to get in the Word tonight. I get to be refreshed tonight. I get to read from heaven tonight. We get excited about that. That's when we know that we have honor for God's word. You know my kids, Joshua, Andrew, and Ellie. Andrew, he's very much like me. He's just like me, actually. And I see him, and of course, he's, you know, Katie thinks he's really cute. So I think, hey, he's just like me. This is going well for me. But Andrew's favorite thing is cereal. He loves cereal. He would eat cereal breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and every snack in between if it were up to him. He likes vegetables and things too, but he just loves cereal. So when he goes to bed at night, a lot of times we'll put him down for bed, we'll pray with them, we'll turn off the lights and leave, and then he'll say, Daddy, Mommy, and we'll go back in the room. Yes, Drew. I can't wait to get up in the morning and have cereal. We think, yes, Drew, it'll be down there for you in the morning. Don't worry about it. Go to sleep. Okay. Oh, I can't wait for cereal. And you'll hear him mumbling about the cinnamon life that's waiting for him the next day. But we ought to have that attitude about the things of God. And we think that's sweet and it is cute. But when we go to bed at night, God, I can't wait to wake up in the morning and get in your word. I can't wait to enjoy that tomorrow. I've been in it today. I can't wait to have more of it tomorrow. We ought to have that kind of honor that a 4-year-old has for cereal. We ought to have more honor than that for the word of God. Amen, that we know we're so excited about it. We can't wait to see it. You know, we're thinking about it. He says here, it is my meditation all the day. So if we're enjoying, we're thinking about the word, that's how we know that we have honor for it. You know, think back to when, if you're married, you were dating your spouse. And you remember that. And I don't say if you're married now, because we'll think back to when we were dating, right? Because then everybody's all romance and lust and things like that. But you think back to that time. And I remember this very well. You can't think about anything but that person. When you spend time with that person and it's the greatest thing and you get butterflies in your stomach just being around them. And then maybe you're not with them. You know, I'd take Katie home at night, drop her off, and then I'd go back to my apartment or wherever, back to my house. And as soon as I dropped her off, she was out of the car. I could have just spent the whole day with her. But as soon as I dropped her off, the first thing on my mind was that girl. Why? Because I loved her. Because I was excited about her. I was in love with her. And we ought to have that about God, about the Word of God. That, yeah, I know that I spent time in the Word already today, but I just want to get a little bit more of it. I just want to spend a little bit more time in there. Now, maybe these things don't come naturally to us. I'll be the first one to raise my hand there, all right? Maybe these things don't come naturally. But that's why we have to be in the Word to develop a love for the Word. When we meditate on these scriptures about how much we love the Word, about how much we love being in there, it'll build that faith in us that we do actually love the Word. You know, your words work for you all the time. And you can use your words to help you love the Lord more, to help you love the Word more. That you can say, maybe you don't feel like you love the Word too much. So you just sit back and you say, well, the Bible says I have what I say. I love the Word. I love the Word. I love being in the Word. And you just build your faith on that, release faith on that, and keep believing that. And eventually you'll be in the Word so much you'll forget that you had to believe God for it. Our words work regardless. And so we have to have honor for the Word of God. We know that we're in honor for it when we love it and when we think about it all the day long. And the last part of how we know we honor it is that we do what it says. When we do the Word, when we are doers of the Word of God, that means we have honor for the Word of God. 1 Kings 17, and verse 8. First Kings 17:8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray you, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah, what a great outlook on life. Man, boy, let's make sure our confessions aren't quite like that, right? Now, she didn't know faith, praise the Lord, but she had something coming to her. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you've said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Think about that for a second before we go on. And you know this story, you've heard the end of this, but think about that. Just picture the headline on CNN, right? Preacher takes last meal from starving woman and child. I mean, people would be all over this. Think about that. This woman is saying, I have no more food. I have enough to feed us one more meal and then we will die. And the preacher says, no, 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 give that to me first. Think about the act of faith that that was for Elijah. Because Elijah was a man of God and so he loved people. And to stand before this woman and her starving child and say, no, give it to me. The faith that he was utterly and completely convinced that his God would provide that for her. We just sprayed everywhere right there. That he would provide that for her. My goodness, what an act of faith on his part. Right? We always look at this woman and think, wow, that's incredible. Look at him. I mean, if I had to get up here and I saw some people come in and I knew that maybe they didn't have anything, maybe they had $5 to their name. And I said, no, no, no. I know that's all you have. I know you don't have anywhere to stay tonight. I know that you don't have a vehicle. I know that you don't have anything in your life, that you're wandering the streets, a woman and her lonely child wandering the streets on a 12-degree South Dayton night, and all they had was $5. And I said, you know what? You give that to me. God said, give that to me. My goodness. You better be sure that you're hearing from heaven. Well, praise God, Elijah was sure that he was hearing from heaven. For it says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall waste not, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of oil wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Because she had honor for the word that was brought to her, it allowed God to honor her with divine sustenance, sustaining, whatever that word is going to be right there. It allowed God to move in her life. It allowed God to perform an amazing miracle in her life because she had honor for the word that was preached to her, that was given to her. When we go before God, when we're in church, when we're in our study times with the word, if we hear or see something that God is telling us to do, we have to do it. Now, because we don't know what's on the other side of it. She didn't know what was going to happen afterwards. He didn't say, it's all going to be okay. He said, do this, for the Lord God said to do it. She said, okay, that's enough for me. If God said do it, that's enough for me. We ought to have that honor for the word of God, that if God said do it, I don't care what my life looks like in that instance. I'm doing it because I want what he has for me. And if he said to do it, that means that he's got something good for us on the other side of it. If she didn't have honor for the word of God, she would have died. Now, thank God none of us might be quite in that situation, but there are times where it's serious that we honor God, that we take him seriously at his word. We're in an age of grace and an age of mercy, and thank God for it, but we have to know how to honor God so that when those times come where God says, listen, you need to trust me. You need to do what I say. Okay, God. Yep. And that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We just move on with it. My kids, when I tell them to do something, I don't give them the chance to disagree with me. This is not a formal discussion. We are not having a debate here. And there's so many Christians nowadays that have a formal debate with God that go back and forth with the Holy Ghost telling them to do something because they've never been told that it's this way and no other way. When God says it, it's not optional. When he says tithe, what's the question? Same way, when he says you're healed, what's the question? Just because it's maybe a bigger sickness than a different one, did Jesus die or didn't he? He died for us. So his promises are true. So if we want those blessings in our life, if we want the honor of God in our life, we've got to honor his word. The second area that I want to look at is honoring God's house, having honor for God's house. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Are you being helped tonight? Amen. I'm stirring myself up here. Praise the Lord. Have a love and an honor for God, for his things and his word. So honor for God's word, honor for God's house. Acts 2. And verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Think about this for a second. Jesus had just died not so long ago and been buried, rose from the dead, which had never happened before, right? Jesus, who had never happened before, died and rose from the dead, which had never happened before. And then he says, go wait in this place for the Holy Ghost. So these people go wait in the place for the Holy Ghost, and suddenly the Holy Ghost shows up mightily, which had never happened before. So there's all these things happening that had never happened before. A mighty move of God on the earth. The day of Pentecost had finally come, and God could live it in each and every one of us. That was a wonderful thing, a glorious thing. And then Peter goes and preaches to the multitude, and thousands upon thousands get saved and come into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. What's the first thing that they began doing afterwards? They had church. They had church. So all these supernatural things were happening, and then God said, yep, that's all right. Now, church. Why? God knew that if the group of God who had to be in one place in one accord in order for the Holy Ghost to flow, they had to continue in one frame of mind, in one doctrine, in one accord, so that God could continue to do what he wanted to do in the church of God. So he had to establish the church. He had to establish the place where the believers could come together to be strengthened, to be renewed, to fellowship with each other, to charge each other up, to build each other up, to hear the word of God preached so that their lives could be changed. Because there was the church being established there, it allowed the move of God to take place on earth. Think of the honor and the reverence that we ought to have for the church because of that. And yet there's people out there who view their doctor's office with more honor than the church, who take a Super Bowl game more seriously than God. That when something comes up that's maybe inconvenient, makes it difficult. Now, I know this isn't the Wednesday night crew, but let this strengthen us, amen? That when something comes up that's it's not convenient to be in church. You know, Pastor Michael has said this before, the hallmark of ministry is inconvenience. That you know you love the Lord when something's inconvenient and you do it anyway. And I love, you know, there's ministries that I've been placed over in the Fredonia Church. And as I see people grow in the things of God, you can see when they finally get it. Because they're willing to say, no, I did have something, but that can wait. This is more important. This is what I need to do. This is what I need to take hold of. This is what I need to be a part of. When we have that attitude towards the church, that's when God can really move. That's when He can flow in our life. When we view Him as more important than anything else. And I know that this crew knows that, so we're not going to spend too much time here. But this part here, having honor for God, for his house, for His things, this is where Eli missed it. And this is why he got off, and this is why God had to forfeit the call that He had placed on his life, because Eli stepped away from these things. He refused to honor God. Go ahead and turn to Acts. You're already in there. Turn over a page or two to verse 6. Chapter 6. We've got to have honor for the house of God, for the church. Nothing ought to be a higher priority in our life during our weekly schedules than being in this place, than serving in this place. You know, I want to commend you. I was here, and I told Pastor Mike about this. I don't know if he mentioned it or not, but I was here one Saturday. I had to come in, and I think Jake and I were working on the projector. And I came in, and I was so incredibly blessed because there was a crew of people here serving, cleaning. And I don't remember exactly who it was. Some faces stand out to me, but not everybody, so I'm sorry if I don't remember you from that day. Don't get offended at me. But it was a crew of people that were here, and I'm sure you all qualify for this anyways. And as I'm here and I'm working with Jake, these people are cleaning the church. And you know, cleaning the church can be hard work. It can be frustrating. It could be a Saturday, my day off. I want to be with my family. I want to enjoy it. I want to sit in front of the TV and veg out all day. But instead, they're here cleaning the church. And I just remember they looked like it was Christmas morning. I have never seen such joy on people's faces serving God before. Why? They had an honor for God's house. Amen. And I bet if each and every one of them could testify about how God's moved in their life, I bet He has mightily, because they had an honor for His house in that time, in that place. It was so, I had to text him. I said, Pastor Mike, this was amazing. Because I've seen people that they look like they, I mean, have you ever gotten a root canal before? Gotten a cavity drilled? That looked like a more enjoyable experience for them than serving in the church. I've seen people like that. And you know what? God's not moving in their life. They're doing the job, but they're not honoring the job. They're not honoring the house while they're doing it. And these people that day, it just blessed me so much to see that. So in Acts 6, let's see this. When we have honor for the house of God. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The qualifications, go down to verse 7 real quick. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So the church needed people to serve, and they stepped up to the plate. But what's interesting is that there was a certain qualification for them to step up to that plate. They were full of the Holy Ghost, of honest report, and full of wisdom. That means that they had honor for God, that they had honor personally for God, that they said, you know what, I need, before I even think about serving in the church, I need to make sure that I'm right before God. I need to make sure that I am serving God to glorify Him. Because when they said, these people that we're going to allow to come in, allow to serve, mind you, people in the church think that they're doing the church a favor by serving it. It's the other way around. When you are allowed to serve in the church, that is a great and mighty honor. Because this is the house of God. And yes, we're under grace, but in the Old Testament, if you weren't qualified to step into the house of God, you died. Now, thank God that's not the case anymore. But there's still a law there that we need to keep in mind, that honor for God, that when we come here to serve, we're on our A game. Why? Because as the church of God increased, that means more lives were changed. When you show up to clean the toilet with a cheerful attitude, honoring God, it allows God to heal someone in this pulpit right here. That honor for God in the bathroom reflects right out here because God says there's honor in that house, that whole house. The house of God isn't just a sanctuary. It's this building. And it's what we bring to it. And so when we honor God in every area of serving in the church, when we view serving and being in the church as such a, oh, it's such, God, thank you for allowing me to be in a church that teaches the word. Thank you for allowing me to be in a church that I can serve in, that I can go there. And I'm so excited about serving. Stir yourself up in those things. Because yes, it's work. Sure, it's work. But there's a work on the other side of it that can be done if we do it right. Amen? So we've got to have honor for God's word, honor for God's house. Wow. I just got one more, all right? I know I'm right at the time here, so let's go to this last one. We've got to have honor for God's people. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6. Honor for his word, honor for his house, and honor for his people. You know, we're going to talk about honor for those that walk in ministry, but I do want to mention this. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. When we talk about honor for God's people, our pastors aren't the only God's people in the church. We are all God's people. And when we are a part of a church, we have a responsibility to honor and care for each other. No matter what. No matter what. You know, there may be things that we disagree on, but we can disagree without being at enmity with each other, without striving with each other. And we're not all going to agree on everything forever. If we did, life would be boring, wouldn't it? And otherwise, we have to seek God and see what He wants to do in the situation. You know, a body that wars against itself has a disorder, right? And if we're a part of the body of Christ, we ought not to find war with any brethren, not just in our house, but I mean Christians as a whole. I work with people who are Christians that do not believe the same way I do, but I don't fight with them about it. Why? They're still a child of God. They're still a part of the body. I may be in the hand and they may be in the foot, but we're in the same body. And if I start fighting with them, Christ can't function the way He needs to. When we have honor for God's people, that means we have honor for everyone in the body, regardless of how we feel about it. And if we're in a situation where we think we're right, the other person's wrong, well, let's just keep our mouth shut and go to God, right? That's the best thing we can do in those times. Let God work it out of us. Mark chapter 6, in verse 1, we're going to talk about honor for God's people real quick, and then we'll close. It says in verse 1, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." Now there's a lot in these scriptures, and we don't have time to tear it all out of here. But we know this, we've been taught this message before, that if we don't have honor for the man and woman of God that God has placed us under, their gifts are not going to be able to operate in our life. Right? If it was true for Jesus, it's true for us, that God's placed us under an anointed man and woman. In my case, Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy. In your case, Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. And that when we have honor for them and who they are gifted to be by God, then the gift of the pastor can flow in your life and bring insight, bring help, bring change, bring revelation, bring everything that you need from heaven. They're your mailman. They're your mail person. We'll be politically correct. So whoever's saying it to you, it's a message from heaven delivered right to us, that we have opportunity to change our lives with. But what I want to look at here and focus on is verse 1. This word jumped out at me when I was reading this. It says, "And he went out from thence, came into his own country, and his disciples follow him." That last sentence, "and his disciples follow him." The difference between the honorable group here and the dishonorable group was that the ones that were honorable to their spiritual leader followed him. And that doesn't just mean that they walked behind him as he was going from one city to the other. That word follow means to be in union with, or to be in the same way as them. Honoring the gift of God that he's given to us isn't just calling our pastors pastor, or giving them money. Those are parts of it, And we can't cheapen those by talking about what we're talking about tonight. Blessing our man and woman of God and giving them financial increase. And Pastor Mike just taught a series on finance. So you know this, of course, but it's a key part of honoring God and being able to walk in the fullness of what He has for us. But following them means being utterly and completely convinced that they are who the Bible says they are. That no one, no how, no thing could sway us from that opinion. That no situation that we come up against, the last thought that has ever been in my mind is that Pastor Michael's not anointed to be my pastor. I have struggled with things in the entire time that I've been saved, but I have never once questioned whether or not he's called to be my pastor. Why? I am wholly convinced of it. And as long as I remain wholly convinced of it, any storm that comes my way, I have something to hold on to. The word's my foundation, but the word that he preaches to me is what allows me to hold on to that stronger. So you be utterly, completely, wholly convinced like these disciples were. They left everything to follow God. They forsook it all. They became ridiculed. They became outlaws, cast out by society because they knew that their man or woman was anointed of God. And now the pastor says something that rubs our skin the wrong way and we walk out. There's a lack of honor for the office of God. There's a lack of honor for God's people. And because of that, God can't flow in people's lives. Honor means a loyalty to it. You know, except for when Peter denied Christ, there was nothing that stood in the way of the disciples knowing who Jesus was. He said to them, I know who the people say I am, but who do you say I am? He wanted to know, how do you view me? What is your view of me? And check ourselves on this. What is our view of our pastors? Have we allowed friendship to get in? And I'm not saying, like I said, Pastor Mike didn't ask me to say anything. I'm not saying that's anybody in this place tonight, but we have to keep our guards against these things. Because if we don't have honor for God's people, God can't honor us with his presence, with his promises in our life. If we have a problem believing God, believing that our pastors are called to be our pastors, we're never going to be able to believe God for the things we need to believe God for. We have to have that in line so that God can honor us with the fruit of that promise. They were loyal to it. You know, not everyone in the history of my interactions with people has been a fan of my pastor. I have been around people who don't like my pastor. Now, when I'm around those people, I don't wave my holy wand of shame at them and say, don't you know who that is? But I don't allow them to speak ill of him. I don't allow them to say something about him. I don't allow them to vent about him to me. I want no part in that in my life. Because I am loyal to him, and I honor him, and I know who he is to me. If someone's in my presence and they're venting to me, or they're saying something about my pastor, I respectfully, because it's not my place to correct, that's still his sheep. Whether or not they're a disgruntled sheep, that's still his sheep. But I just say, you know what? No, I can't have this conversation. And if they keep it up, okay, have a great day. I'm leaving now. You can't fellowship with darkness for too long, or you'll start to get those thoughts, wow. They did say that, didn't they? Yeah, he did. He did do that. The devil will take the littlest opportunity because if he can get you offended at your pastor, he can get you out of the will of God. And if he can get you out of the will of God, God can't honor us with his presence, with his promises. So let it be said of you that you follow Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. That if someone were to write a scripture about you from this place tonight, that it says, I follow my man and woman of God. That I am with them. I am supportive of them. And that no matter what anybody else says against them, I know who they are. I know that God has placed me under them for a purpose, for this time, for this season, and that it'll cause me to grow from that place. Amen. Let me just close by saying this. There was a time that I was, everybody goes through stuff, right? And I was going through a thing. We'll just say it that way. I was going through a time. And I met with Pastor Michael because I needed to change some things. And he's my pastor. He's my help. So I'm going to meet with him to find out, you know, what I'm doing obviously isn't working. So tell me what I need to change so that it can work, because I want to make sure that it's working in my life. The Word of God is working, that I'm at peace, that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And at that time, he had to change some things up with my schedule a little bit. And because I had been giving a little bit too much time where it didn't belong and a little bit of time where it wasn't supposed to be going, it was going. And you understand, things were out of order. Had to get in order. And when stuff's out of order, you get all uncomfortable, you know. You need to get right and get things back in order. And so I met with him. And I changed up my schedule a little bit. And I did a little bit less at the church because of it at that time. And he said something to me that stuck with me. He said, Pastor Scott, I don't need you for what you do. I need you for who you are. And our pastors in our life, that resonated with me, that the office of the pastor for us, it's not what they do. It's not the text messages. It's not the hugs or the smiles or the friendliness at church. It's nothing that. It's who they are for us that changes our life. It's who they are. It's who they've been called to be by God that allows God to flow and move in our life. And when we have honor, when we have reverence for that gift that they walk in, when we have honor and reverence for what they are, for who they are, that's when God can say, yeah, they honor that. They honor that. And I can honor them with me. Because we want God to honor us with Him, don't we? Praise the Lord. So we've got to honor God. We never lightly esteem Him or disvalue Him. We do this by honoring His word, honoring His house, and honoring His people. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You, Father, that it's a help to us, Lord. And Father, if there's areas we're not honoring You like we should, help us to fix those. Help us to get things back on track in that area, Father. We want to be right before You. And Father, we want Your honor in our life. We want Your presence. We want Your promises, Father. So, Lord, we ask You to quicken us tonight. Holy Spirit, help us in areas that we need help. And if we need to have more honor for Your word, more excitement for it, Holy Ghost, You're our helper. Help us develop that hunger for Your word. Help us to see areas that we could honor or serve in the house better than we do. Or help us to know how to honor each other better, how to have greater respect and honor for the offices that You've placed us under, for the people that You've placed us around. Father, we love You so much. We're so grateful and thankful. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I believe everyone in this room is saved. It's family night. But just in case, if you're not saved, you need to be born again. It means accept Jesus into your heart. Or if you need to rededicate your life, you've walked away from Him and you want to give your life back to Him tonight, He's there with open arms. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands. I didn't think so. It's a family crew. Let's just praise Him for a moment. Father, we love You. We praise You, Father. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. We honor You, Lord. We honor You, Father. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You so much. We love You so much, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Just hook up your faith with me. I'm going to just pray for Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney, but as he's down in Florida this week receiving from heaven. Father, we thank You for Pastor Mike and for Pastor Courtney. We thank You for what they are to this place, for what You've done in South Dayton, the mighty work that You've done by the hand of the faithful. And Father, we thank You so much for the call that's on them. And Lord, as Pastor Mike is down in Florida this week, we pray for him for rest, for relaxation, Father, for rejuvenation. Father, that his spirit would be refreshed this week. And Father, as he receives this week, we thank You for a revelation from heaven, Father, that the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, he would know what is the hope of Your calling, what is the greatness of Your glory towards him, Father. Lord, we thank You for revealing to him Your will for his life and his ministry. Father, that our lives will be increased as he follows You, that we'll follow him. Lord, we have honor and reverence for them. Father, we have honor and reverence for You and expect Your greatest to be done in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So go from this place tonight, honoring God greater than we've honored Him before, and let's see how He works it in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. Come back Sunday and hear your pastor.